everyone, and welcome to Echo This. We have an exciting announcement that we're beginning with this episode, season number 2. And we are so happy to be engaged with you in Echo, empowering conversations of hope and opportunity. Today, we have our distinguished panel and co-authors of Echo This, and I'd like to introduce them now. And first of all, we'll go to Arizona.
Hi, my name is Debbie Wimberly, and I'm known as the disruptor of broken health. Because as someone who was abandoned by traditional medicine and struggled to find quality cannabis education, I developed tools and collaborations that empower both patients and medical cannabis professionals in a restrictive industry. An example of what I've achieved is guiding my own health journey through being dependent on 24-hour caregivers, constant oxygen, and 25 prescribed medications, to eliminating all of them with one natural plant called cannabis, accomplishing what no doctor could in over 2 decades and said was impossible. Now what I'm up to is continuing to make the impossible possible for others through education and empowerment.
Thank you. And now let's travel to New Jersey.
Yes. Hi, I'm Lisa Jones, a speaker, consultant, and author that leverages the power of humor, gamification, and play as fuel to enhance collaboration, increase engagement, and maximize productivity.
And I'm your moderator for this episode, and my name is Amy Weishaus. I am a lifelong teacher and learner who brings to the table years of experience in the classroom and in leadership in the business world. And also, I believe strongly throughout the whole of fabric of my career is the practice of empathy, and that empathy is our strongest asset for us to achieve personal and professional and worldwide success. So on that note, we're going to talk about how do we achieve success today. We're going to talk a lot about personal strengths. How do we discover and how do we embellish and elaborate and sprinkle the world with our personal strengths for happiness and joy for everyone? So we chose a topic, and the topic for today is just this: embrace your strengths for stronger confidence and purpose. And the first experience I had in really valuing the importance of this idea of strength-based, personality strength-based living is through a book called StrengthsFinders 2.0. And this actually, StrengthsFinders 2.0, is the product of the Gallup Poll Organization and a man named Don Clifford, who's considered the father of strength psychology. Think about it for a minute. What are your personal strengths? And I'm going to ask Debbie and Lisa, off the top of your heads, what are your personal strengths? I'll start with Debbie.
I would say mine are adaptability, resilience, and outside of the box.
Aha, wow. Adaptability, resilience, and thinking out of the box. Wow. I'm sure many of our listeners are relating to those. How about you, Lisa?
I'm going to go with the A's today. So authentic, adaptable, and approachable.
Ah, the A's. Okay, wonderful. So then you'll ask me, well, what are your strengths? Well, guess what? I was doing the research and I found out you can go online and you can actually look up strengthfinders.com. And you can take a test. There is a fee to do it. But there's another StrengthsFinders option, which is called High Five, H-I-G-H, number 5, High Five. And actually, this platform helps someone discover what they're great at and gear you towards a path that's just meaningful and appropriate for you. And I did the test, and here are my test results. And my panelists can maybe weigh in if they think they're accurate. One is that I'm a storyteller, that I like to host events and speak in public. Huh. The other is that I'm a coach and have coach abilities, that I'm a peacekeeper, an optimist, and a believer.
Yes.
What do you think?
I think that's very accurate.
Definitely.
See, it's all about the ace, accurate.
Uh-huh. And I was a little bit surprised and delighted that this little computer program, High Five, got me to a T. So here I am, I'm moderating. I like to speak in public. I like to share important ideas. So this ability to come from a position of strength, see how wonderful it is when we know what our strengths are. We know what our strengths are, how much better all of our atmospheres and environments are going to be. So we're going to get right now into this question of how can we echo the hope of using our personal strengths. So consider that we're increasingly involved in a world that focuses on the cult of personality. And these people in the limelight all the time, the people from politics and religion and sports and entertainment, they display a number of personality strengths. These draw people to them, obviously. Everybody wants followers. So how can we align with these influencers to create hope in the world? How can we become influencers ourselves for the betterment of society based on our personal strengths that we discover? So I'm going to ask Lisa first, what do you think of that?
Well, I think that it's a pretty doable thing, because if we think about influencers, they're kind of like fireflies. They light up the room and they draw us in. And the question I think is, how do we harness that glow to spread hope? Well, we partner up and we let our own light shine brighter. So we can team up with these influencers. We can find shared sparks. We can look for them who align with our values, like pairing peanut butter and jelly for a message everyone can savor. We can amplify the glow, whether it be collaborating on playful campaigns or events, and a team effort turns a flicker into a beacon. And we also need to always add our secret sauce. So what is that for you? Your unique strengths are the sprinkles on the cupcake of collaboration. So how do you become an influencer for good? Well, you can embrace your superpowers. You can use them to save the day. You can tell your hero's story, because personal stories make you relatable and inspiring. And then you can invite the world to play along. So create games or challenges that let people solve problems with a smile. Think of it as a joyful chain reaction. And then personality strengths equals hope. So we can fuel influence. It's about connecting, not just shining. Be the DJ who reads the room, spins a vision of joy, and gets everyone dancing to a hopeful beat. So it's kind of like a great recipe, Amy. You mix empathy, authenticity, and collaboration to whip up something truly transformative.
Oh, I hear so many things that I resonate with and align with there that are so very, very helpful. And Debbie, what would you like to add to that?
Well, you know what's funny? Growing up, we didn't call them influencers. We just called them role models. Yes. Our moms, grandmas, teachers, and that cool neighbor with endless lemonade and life advice. They were the OG influencers, showing us how to live, love, stumble, and chase something better. When I think about influence, it's not about having the perfect brand or thousands of followers. It's about being real. It's about the courage to keep going when things feel impossible and the audacity to hope, even in the mess. I found my strength in my voice navigating a health quest with no roadmap. When doctors had no answers and gave up, I became my own advocate, following curiosity into cannabinoid therapies, the endocannabinoid system, and a world of healing most don't even know exist. Now I use my story like a looking glass, not to dwell on the past, but to highlight the future. I lead with choices, not answers, showing healing's possible. Influence isn't telling people what to do. It's helping them to discover what's possible for themselves. So how do we align with today's influencers? Ask, are they lifting others up or just themselves? The ones worth following help you grow roots and wings to become an influencer for the betterment of society. You simply show up as you. Own your story and lead with your strengths, whether it's empathy, humor, resilience, or the ability to listen. Because influence isn't just for the famous, it's for the brave. It's for those who choose impact over image. So if you're listening right now, I want you to know you don't have to be verified to be valuable. You have to be willing to share your light.
I think all of us are going to be resonating with some of the same vibes here about our light and about the importance of community, collaboration in helping us find our strengths. Many of us are reluctant to say what our strengths are. Many of us don't know. Some people answer this question with silence. We can very often find the answers through the mirror of our friends and family, hoping they like us and hoping they're going to be authentic and honest. We're going to get some very valuable feedback. So one of the ways that I help create the hope is by bringing people together to do this very thing. And as an offshoot of our book, Echo This, Empowering Conversations of Hope and Opportunity, I've formed some discussion groups. And this is what the flyer says, and this is what has drawn people to our meetings. I said, join us in a safe space where we all need to be seen, heard, and valued. Here we discover and we celebrate the person sitting next to you as we build community and lasting joy through the practice of empathy. Even if you come only to listen, you will empower us. So some people say, well, I'm not a conversationalist. I'm shy. I don't like to talk. But the emphasis is on just come and listen. You will empower us. And 9 out of 10 times, somebody is going to say something because the immediacy and the honesty and the nice level of vulnerability brings them out and they surprise themselves. Believe me, it's been happening and it's very gratifying to see. So when we talk about others being a little bit more quick to identify what our strengths are, we can find it even in our childhoods, the things that people have said to us that have helped spur us on. Oh, we love the way you sing. And then somebody's on American Idol years later. Or the possibility of, you know, finding in them some spark of achievement. Even in high school, the senior personalities in the yearbook, aren't they earmarking some of the people who excel in being the class clown and maybe are going to find a path of humor and delight and bringing joy to other people? Or the leaders who are future teachers and politicians and CEOs. So if we look around and see how strength-based leadership can have its roots, we can all be part of that. And as Debbie suggested, we're all role models. We ourselves are role models. So we really have an obligation to find out what our personal strengths are and develop them to the best of our ability. So you said that the importance of personal strengths equals hope. And conversation and collaboration equals hope. So now let's go on and see how can we use personal strengths and echo opportunities. And the question is this: think about the roles and the purposes that you fulfill every day. And do you have the opportunity to do your very best at what you like to do best every day? So I'm going to ask the panel to share an example based on your own strength-based personality development, and in what ways do you, in turn, create opportunities for excellence for others? And we'll start with Lisa.
Well, imagine life as a game where everyone has a unique skill tree. And the question is, are you leveling up your best talents every day? So for me, it's humor, creativity, and play. They're my maxed out skills, and I use them to help others unlock their own power-ups. So a good example of this would be a favorite quest of mine was recovering from my brain tumor. So instead of treating it like a grind, I turned healing into a game. So every doctor's visit, a new boss battle. Every small win, a badge of progress. because play wasn't just survival. It was a transformation tool for me. It's proof that I thrive when using humor and gamification to tackle life's challenges. So creating opportunities for others, now I pay it forward by helping others find their own magic, whether it's turning boring work meetings into playful brainstorming sessions or coaching leaders to embrace fun. I make spaces where people feel energized and empowered to bring their A game. It's like being a dungeon master, setting the scene, but letting others shine as the heroes. Life's more fun when you focus on your strengths and create opportunities for others to level up to. So I ask you, what's your next move?
Wow, what a challenge. Debbie, you going to take us up on that? What is our next move?
Well, I absolutely create the opportunity to do what I do best every day. But to be honest, I didn't always know what my best even looked like. It started with one little spark, curiosity, and that stubborn what if that kept tapping me on the shoulder. What if healing didn't have to come with labels and side effects? What if I could be one in charge of my own health story? What if the system got it wrong and I could write my own playbook? Once I leaned into those questions, everything changed. I stopped waiting for permission and started paving my own path. I didn't just think outside of the box, I recycled it. My adaptability helped me reroute every time a door slammed shut. My resilience got me through the days when hope felt like a whisper. And now I use those same strengths to hold that door open for others. And that's why I created the Effective Cannabis Newsletter. Not from strategy or branding, but from need. A need to speak into the silence. A need to create community where there was confusion. It became a blueprint, a microphone, a hug in an email form, whatever people needed on their health journey. And here's the thing. I don't hoard what I've learned. I share it loudly and proudly, whether I'm on a stage, on the Echo This radio show, or mentoring someone in my DMs. I'm turning curiosity into a community and giving others the tools to build something better for themselves. Your questions are the seeds of your next chapter. So what's your what if? What strengths are you sleeping on? Now's the time to get curious. You just might find that that story is someone else's survival guide.
Oh, my goodness. I resonated there with the idea of asking the right questions. How very important that is to open opportunity for everyone. And as I mentioned earlier, encouraging people to come to my Echo discussion group encourages them, even if they don't think they're going to speak, because I maintain that everyone is in a constant conversation in our head. There's a dialogue going on. There's a conversation going about reacting to what the conversation is, to what the dialogue is around them. So if everyone is always in conversation, at some point, those conversations, both the external and the internal, they're going to meld. They're going to blend at some point. And I think give some wonderfully amazing alignment and wonderful results. We should take the opportunity, if we're following other leaders, find out more about them. What are their qualities? For example, if your family follows Taylor Swift, what is she well known for besides her talent? Is she a philanthropist? Was she a leader in high school? You know, find out a little bit more about these people and these leaders so you could see if there really is a true alignment with them and their values. And that could open up more opportunities for all of us. I believe that these opportunities are only going to keep like dominoes. They're going to keep manufacturing themselves for all of us. And just to go back to the book again for a minute, Strength Finders, I came up with about 120 different personal strengths that you can go online and just look up personal strengths. And from different sources, you can find many of them that you could go down the list and say, you know, I think this describes me to a T. And you might find 10 that are truly your strengths. And those that you want to develop more, you might want to go even further in those areas. Things like social connectedness, family, how strong are your family ties? That could be for many a great boost in life. Optimism, your talents and interests, even volunteering. Are you a volunteer? Are you a leader and a strong person in that regard? Where, again, you're being a role model, as Debbie said, you're being a role model and a leader for others. It could be your spiritual and religious strengths. It could be how strong you are in the community and resiliency, as Debbie mentioned, and your support in nature, even. You know, how much do you commune in nature and find that as a strength that you could share with others? So again, this is a very fertile area with so much to discover about yourself and about the person sitting next to you, even maybe someone you've known for many, many years. So we now go to the segment of our show called Echoing the Laughter. And the question I have for you is, in what ways have you cultivated humor and lightheartedness as a personal strength for the achievement of your own goals and for the purposes of the groups and people around you? Can you cite specific situations on a personal or a team level where laughter was just rampant and joyful and showing up as a personal strength? So I know I have two very humorous people here on the panel. So Debbie, let's start with you.
Humor was not something I set out to cultivate or to embody. It's something that developed out of need, because life has a way of making comedians out of the determined. When you've navigated years of chronic illness and sudden setbacks and systems that forget you, you learn to laugh or you break. I chose laughter. So there we were, living our best museum life in San Francisco, finally faced with the girl in the pearl earring. I was so pumped. I mean, it was Vermeer. She's the original quiet influencer. Soft, mysterious, and timeless. And I'm over here, oxygen tank on, cane in hand, and all, doing my best not to stand out. As I leaned over to read one of those museum tags, my purse decided to start rolling down my shoulder, laying back my skin like a loose sock rolling down your ankle. Thanks to the years of steroids and tissue-like paper, redheaded skin, I was saying, oh, an exhibit. Suddenly, I wasn't a museum guest. I was the surprise pop-up exhibit. Blood started flowing like I was the subject of a new modern art installation. Oh, I have something to show. Cue the blood, like a dramatic performing art installation titled Woman with a Bleeding Arm. Dave, my partner and emergency response team, dashed off to find paper towels, only to learn the museum had embraced the air dryers only. Aesthetics, no towels, no mercy. So he went full Mission Impossible into the cafe, grabbing handfuls of napkins like he was rescuing hostages. Meanwhile, I stood statue still, terrified to leave a trail of blood through the gallery. I wasn't just in the museum anymore. I was the exhibit. Performance art meets survival mode. By the time Dave returned, the floor looked less like a museum and more like a Dutch Renaissance crime scene. He mopped up the evidence while I wrapped my arm like a mummy, and somehow we escaped. No alarms, no crowd gasped, no security, just two slightly panicked adults briskly walking to the exit like we pulled off the classiest art heist ever. And that's why I keep humor close. It's my not-so-secret weapon. It lets me reclaim moments that could have been traumatic and turn them into stories that remind people healing doesn't have to be heavy. The joy can live right inside, alongside the chaos, and that even when your body betrays you in front of a priceless masterpiece, you can still walk out with dignity a napkin tourniquet, and one heck of a story.
I've heard that story before, Debbie, and it is one heck of a story. It's almost stranger than fiction to imagine this mishap of your bleeding from very thin skin in a museum in the middle of all this beautiful artwork and all the spectators and everything. It's just an incredible story. And you're learning to laugh and find the humor in the situation, making it like an art heist. It's just incredible. It's so incredible. And it's so beautifully and metaphorically described in such interesting, amazing imagery. I really love it. If we want to be models of humor, models of strength and resilience, which is very closely aligned with that. And I remember, Debbie, you said resilience was one of your main strengths. And here's a shining example of when it was put in motion. I think we could all limber up for the humor muscle if we watch comedy, watch America's Funniest Videos. I sometimes laugh at myself, laughing at Family Feud and some of the things people say, and Steve Harvey's facial expressions and comments. That always brings me a smile and an out loud chuckle. Learning to laugh at ourselves is so important. I remember in the classroom when I put a transparency on an overhead projector, but instead of putting it on the sheet of glass on the top, I put it in some crevice I found straight through, and there was an odor in the room, and there was a big blob on the screen as the plastic transparency started to melt on the light bulb of the projector. And I looked, new teacher, new to audiovisual equipment, and I had to laugh. And the kids, of course, will always remember that wonderful day, but I laughed with them and I kept my cool. And find the humor. Try to say, how can I build humor into this situation? And just do it deliberately. So another just quick example from my teaching career, teaching Romeo and Juliet. Not very easy. Elizabethan English, lots of different protocols from the Elizabethan theater. And when the kids translated the Elizabethan English into modern English and did their own skits, and the boys wore wigs and had to be the female characters because that's how it was done in Shakespeare's days. There were only male actors, no female actors. It seemed a low profession for them. And you can just imagine the fun we had and the memories for even young high school boys of studying Romeo and Juliet because we laughed and learned our way the whole way through it. So it may be pushing it a little bit, but it's discovering it. And some of you are going to find you're just natural comedians, and it's wonderful. And that is your strength. So we haven't had Lisa weigh in yet on the laughter question, and she's the one probably with the most experience in her craft and in her field on that subject. So Lisa, how can you give us a situation where you use laughter as a personal strength?
Yes. Well, humor and lightheartedness are my secret sauce. They've turned tough moments into triumph wins and mundane tasks into memorable adventures. And on a personal level, I know I've talked about my diagnosis with brain tumor before, but I want to specifically mention that it was 3 months before my wedding. But humor was my survival toolkit. Instead of wallowing, I joked about accessorizing my hospital gown and creating a most stylish patient award. So laughter really transformed fear into strength. It made the road to recovery for me lighter and more manageable. And on a team level, as a speaker and consultant, I've turned countless boardrooms into playgrounds for innovation. But one of my favorite moments, Amy, was leading a brainstorming session where I had everyone pitch ideas as if they were cartoon villains. It was so much fun. It broke the ice, it fueled creativity, and it proved that play can lead to serious breakthroughs. Because humor isn't just a strength. It's a compass. So whether facing challenges or inspiring teams, a little laughter always points the way forward.
And that really sums up the whole joy and the strength of having humor as one of our pieces in our toolkit to survive our best life and also to be in a group situation where we really are causing other people to be joyful and to shine as well. So now on a more somber note, there's a section of our episodes now, Echo the Enigma. So now we're going to look at personal strengths and we're going to see, is there a little bit of a shadowy side or a little bit of a darker side to this whole arena of personal strengths? And the question I'd like you all to consider is this one. Can a personal strength become a personal weakness? I know we all know the story of King Midas and how that went to an extreme with his greed and his desire for wealth. In real life situations, in our lives, can we share a situation where the duality and the dynamic of a personal strength had a little bit of a negative side and maybe didn't go quite the way we expected or wanted it to? So, Debbie, what of your many, many, many experiences, what stands out in your mind as the personal strength as a possible enigma?
Well, that one's 100% something that I can build on and share. Being strong is one of my superpowers. But like any power, it can also turn into a full-time job with no lunch breaks. And one of my greatest strengths has been making the impossible possible. Reclaiming my health after years of chronic conditions, 25 pharmaceuticals, and needing a 24-hour caregiver wasn't just a glow-up. It was a complete life overhaul. I trusted myself, leaned into cannabinoid therapies, and built a path forward when traditional systems gave up on me. But here's the twist. The same strength that relentless self-reliance, it can feel isolating when it's not seen or supported, especially by the medical community. I show up to appointments healthier, more informed, and more empowered than ever, and still get side-eyed like I wandered in off the wrong floor. It's frustrating to work that hard and still feel like your progress doesn't count unless it fits into someone else's definition of healing. So yes, my strength has carried me, but without collaboration and validation, it can feel like I'm carrying the whole load alone. Lesson learned. Being strong doesn't mean you don't need support. Self-reliance gets you far, but change happens faster when the people around you recognize and respect your growth. So remember, you're not too much. You're a trailblazer. Trust your path. Create the wins, even if no one else claps. And never forget, you deserve a healthcare team that walks with you, not just watches from the sidelines.
What a powerful story, because we know that our curiosity and our ability to ask the right questions and often our needed vulnerability in asking for help sometimes doesn't provide the answers or the support we need, as in your situation with the medical community. So it's so interesting. Where does our resilience come from? You know, what are the roots of our resilience and how that enigma really turned you into the person that you are today? It's fascinating. And Lisa, what about your take on this?
Well, absolutely. A personal strength can become a personal weakness. And I think it's really about how and when you use it. And the example I'd like to share is early in my career, I leaned heavily on humor to connect with people and navigate stressful situations. But during one of my first big presentations to senior leadership, I cracked a joke to lighten the mood. And most of the room laughed, but one key decision maker found it inappropriate and off-putting. My humor, which has always been a strength, ended up casting doubt on my professionalism. And that moment was a wake-up call for me. And while humor can be a powerful tool, I learned the importance of timing and understanding the context. So it wasn't about abandoning my humor, but using it more intentionally to ensure it landed well. So our strengths are like early career training wheels. Sometimes they wobble, but they teach us how to ride. And that experience taught me to balance authenticity with audience awareness, turning a potential weakness back into my refined strength. So that's what I still practice today. I always make sure that the humor I use is right for that particular situation. And it's really an art form, actually.
Wow. That has to be very sensitive to know and to gauge what will fly with an audience and be seen as acceptable and humorous, which is your goal, or what will put people off. And I know even in our personal lives, I'm sure we've had to clean up a few messes or misunderstandings along those lines. I so agree that personal strengths can be weaknesses. And I think mostly of the achiever, the personal strength of being an achiever, being a goal setter, being someone who's very successful in life. And then how about the times when there's complaints at home, you're not home enough with the children, or you're not here enough for me, or you're never available to go out with our little social clique or whatever. And, you know, there's that image of someone on their deathbed and they're saying, the one thing that I regret is that I didn't spend more time with you, whoever that significant yous are in their family. And that is something where achievement can backfire and achievement can breed emptiness, even though it's a wonderful, admirable personal strength. And I'm sure we can all think of people in the history of our country and entertainment, and even in our families, who've been victimized by overachieving almost. There's a saying that love is time. To a child, love means time. And then there's also the opposite almost of the achiever, is the one who's the helper. The one who's so generous and the one who is so compassionate in helping others. And the question there is, when does parenting or friendship or generosity cross the line and become enabling and become a codependent situation? And that's another eggshell walk that many people do. I heard a story recently where the enabling was in finance, and one mother gave so much of her financial resources to an older daughter. And then when the younger daughter became of age to need certain things, the resources weren't there any longer. And that generosity and that strength of being able to be a good parent and to be solvent in finances turned into something that was not a happy situation for the family involved. So let us try, as we identify our strengths, let us also try to make an effort to see where and how we could push them too far.
I think one of the things, I think you both made some really good comments there. I just want to pipe in for a minute. Timing and achiever. When we're talking about life, and we're talking about our health in particular, timing, it's really important, and understanding when you can say something, when is an appropriate time to talk about your health, but it's important that we do talk about it. And then I think achiever is another thing. When you're struggling with poor health and bad health, you want to achieve as much as possible. So sometimes we forget to take care of the people around us when we're doing that, because we're so focused on improving our health and our lives. So I think those are two really important messages that you shared there. Thank you both.
Wow. And truly balance. Life balance is something everyone talks about all the time, time management and life balance. And I think that in itself is a strength, and one that I'm still working on, and one that's extremely important to all of us for our quality of health and our quality of life. Thank you, Debbie. So in the final section of this episode of Echo This, we're going to talk about echoing the transformation. And the question is this: discuss your view of the belief that awareness of the cultivation of one's personal strengths is the bedrock, is the foundation of effective management and empathetic leadership, resulting in positive change. And can you support with examples from your own professional and personal experiences, some ways in which your personal strengths led to some transformations for you and others. And we'll start with Lisa.
Yes, Amy, thank you. Tapping into your personal strengths is really, to me, like finding your rhythm on the dance floor, because it's not about being perfect. It's about leading with confidence and inspiring others to join in. And in my early days of training and hosting workshops, a tech glitch turned a seamless presentation into a circus. Instead of panicking, I leaned into my strength, humor. I know you're shocked by me saying this. I joked about rebranding the workshop as an improv class, and the audience laughed, they relaxed, and by the end, we had one of the most engaged sessions ever. So my ability to stay lighthearted turned a near disaster into a win. And during a long, grueling project, I introduced a bad idea contest to break up the monotony. The team competed to pitch the worst, most ridiculous ideas for solving our problem. It was hilarious and surprisingly effective. I was shocked by that. People felt safe to share bold ideas, and some of those bad ones actually ended up sparking genius solutions. So playfulness was the key to progress. So you're thinking, why does it work? Well, cultivating strengths like humor or creativity isn't just self-serving. It's contagious. Everyone wants to join in. When you lead with what you do best, you empower others to discover their strengths too. It's kind of like being the DJ at a party. You set the right vibe, and everyone wants to jump on the dance floor with you. So leaning into your strengths creates momentum, it builds trust, and it turns ordinary moments into extraordinary ones. And Amy, isn't that what leadership is all about anyway?
Oh, I definitely agree. Yes, you had some pearls of wisdom there. And Debbie, what would you like to add to the idea of the transformation quality of our personal strengths?
Well, I'm a big believer that knowing your strengths isn't just helpful, it's foundational, like ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s. Self-awareness is where it all begins. When you know what you bring to the table, you stop asking for a seat. You start building the whole dang thing. And when you nurture those strengths, that's when real leadership sprouts, the kind that's rooted in empathy, not ego. For me, resilience and determination have been my ride or dies. These two carried me through my health quest that tested every ounce of me, from losing my independence to reclaiming it on my own terms. And I didn't just get better. I got louder, more educated, and more committed to making sure that no one else ever walks this road alone. That's why I created the Effective Cannabis Newsletter, to turn my personal strength into a public service, and why I speak on Echo This to share my story, teach the science behind the endocannabinoid system, and encourage others to become their own best health advocates. Because when you tap into what makes you strong, you naturally hold space for others to rise too. That's real leadership. It's not about control. It's about connection. So here's my little rhyme to leave with you today. You've got a system built to thrive. It balances health and keeps hope alive. It's whispering heal from deep inside. Your ECS is your trusted guide. With plant allies and inner might, you turn the dark into healing light. So lead with strength, speak with what's true, because change begins inside of you.
Change begins inside of you. It's so empowering to know that through my colleagues that I've learned so much. And Debbie's referred to the ECS, the endocannabinoid system inside each of us, which I was never taught, I never knew about until I met her and until I learned about the amazing health benefits, recovery, and restoration of health that she's achieved through that. So we're all transforming, and both Lisa and Debbie have mentioned empathy a number of times. And I had an aha moment this episode thinking we're not just in a transformation from our strengths, but we're in a constant evolution with our strengths. And the way in which we exhibit and interact with people, the ways in which we're connected, are so very critical. And today, more and more, I'm finding that the strength, the personal strength most needed, is one echoing my colleagues here, and that's empathy. I came across a statistic recently that the majority of people that were leaving jobs were not necessarily leaving for better pay or better position. They were leaving because they were in organizations where they did not feel valued. They did not feel seen. They did not feel heard. They did not feel valued. So one of the soft skills that is really a very key in personal strengths and management today, one of them is empathy. And if a leader has empathy, a leader is probably going to be more successful than others. Another soft skill is listening, very closely aligned with empathy, listening to others, making them feel valued. I remember I'm not going to say it word for word, but to paraphrase Maya Angelou, people are not going to remember what you said or what you did, but they are going to remember how you treated them and how they made you feel, how they made you feel. So speaking about this evolution, I just wanted to relate to two of my former students, one of whom became a lawyer with the late hours and the court dates and the litigation and coming home in a limousine at all hours and deciding this law is not for me. And he became an architect. He went to architect school, changed careers midstream. Evolution. He was finding his strength even as a young adult. And when I met his mom in the grocery store one day, I said, "What's Richard doing?" And she said, he's an architect and he loves it. And she said, "You know what? We were thinking about his passion for Legos and how he was always building things out of Legos when he was little." So he came full circle. And another former student who was in finance for 20 years and then went back to graduate school to become now a network level, high achieving journalist. So let us know that our personal strengths are not always ending at a certain point, but they are certainly there to be developed and to be improved. So I know we have a few more minutes. So to wrap up this episode, I would just like, I wondered as we were conversating over the whole many, many arenas in which we use and we discover our personal strengths, I was wondering if I could ask each one of you, if you can reflect on where do you think you most sourced your personal strengths? How did you, or, you know, just it might emphasize and underline things you've already said today, obviously, but where did you source the awareness of what your strengths are? And I think that might be enlightening as we summarize this section. And I'll start out. I really think my strengths have come from life experiences and the things that I observed through the people in my life. My mother's compassion for others, her empathy, her generosity. My dad was a very friendly, I used to call him the mayor of the city. You know, he was always engaging with other people, always liking to help. And much of this came from having an older sibling, an only other sibling who was born with Down syndrome. So I think through her, my strength of why I want to spread empathy and model empathy came from those immediate family influences in my life. And I know there are stories about, you know, the guidance counselor who told someone, "You'll never be good at that. How could you think of going into that?" And kind of squelching anybody's thought about personal strengths and what they could develop and what they could thrive in. So I am grateful for the strengths that I've gotten from the people around me and my teachers and role models who've been my influencers. And I wondered, out of comparison, Lisa, where do you source your strengths?
So I would say the same thing. It's basically influences throughout my life. But if I can trace it back, I would say when I was growing up, that's when I started playing games to solve problems as a strategy. And that's one of my strengths, as well as the humor. I specifically remember we were on food stamps. And one of the things that I did, I mean, for there was a brief period of time that we were on the food stamps, and my family, you know, it was upsetting to my parents. They were trying to care for us, and it was, they couldn't give us everything that we wanted at the time. And it was hard for them, and they were sad. And what I would do is I started telling these jokes at the table. Like, they were really bad knock-knock jokes. But that's where I started developing my humor strength. So I think I could trace every single strength that I named earlier, the adaptability, you know, the A's, the authenticity. So I trace that back to when I was younger, and it's all influences around me. So I think we really develop that stuff when we're young as 5 or 6 years old, actually.
Yes, very, very formative years. Absolutely. And Debbie, how about you? I know you based a lot on being a Macmillan also.
That's exactly where I'm headed, because I have to give Lisa credit for this. I'm just like you guys. My strength has been taught to me through my family and through my life growing up. But when we were getting ready to write Echo This, the book, Lisa asked me some questions. And so because I was born with health conditions and always have never done anything the way normal people do it, my parents just would always say, well, you're a Macmillan. And I didn't just always kind of wore that as a badge of honor. Well, I'm a Macmillan. I'm different. And I've always said I'm different. But Lisa asked me, she said, that's really powerful and that's really strong. And we started digging into, well, you know, what is a Macmillan? And I'd never even really looked it up. And I went back and looked up to see what the Macmillan name stood for. And it showed me that the name stands for strength. And nurturing your family and taking care of it, but knowing when to defend it when you need to. And so it was like an aha moment for me with Lisa in that moment, understanding that I have been living with something that I always wore as a badge of honor, that I was a Macmillan, not understanding why, and that's why I was different. And I'm not sure that my parents even did that, knowing that they were giving me that strength. I think they were just trying to give me something to hang on to so I wouldn't be so depressed or down, because I always was dealing with health challenges. And so sometimes taking the time to look back into your history, like we've all just talked about here, about what are your strengths and where do they come from? Sometimes they come from the strangest and most unusual places. But now it's like I really can't understand how that really propels me forward. And I'm, you know, it's something that you shouldn't be excited that you're sick all the time, but it gave me the strength now to understand what being a Macmillan is really like. And I never really knew my Macmillan side of the family, because my grandmother died when I was 5 and we just never had any connections. So Lisa brought me a connection that I will always be grateful for.
Oh, thank you, guys. I have so enjoyed those reflections so very much. And, you know, we sometimes set limits on ourselves, but knowing our personal strengths can break those barriers and break those boundaries that sometimes chain us. And I want to share this reflection I found. And it said, sometimes we're a little misleading in telling someone, oh, you can be anything you want to be. And realistically, there are so many variables that might prevent that. But it may be more appropriate to say, you cannot be anything you want to be, but you can be a lot more of who you already are. And when we find our strengths, building on those strengths of who we already are, and that awareness and power can be so limitless and so exciting in our lives, and how it affects others as well. So that brings us to the end of this episode of Echo This. And I would like to encourage all of you to please respond and interact with us through your questions, your comments, and your input and suggestions. And you could reach us at Echo Together. That's Echo with the number 2, Together, at gmail.com. or you can find us on Instagram at Echo Together or on LinkedIn as Echo Together. So thank you so much. We hope that you've thought a lot about your personal strengths. You'll use those strengths to echo some messages and thoughts after today. And thank you so much for being here. We look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you.